Our reading is from the book of Genesis, and since it is long, I'm going to read only a portion of it. Now that Jacob was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful and thought, "Suppose Joseph has been nursing a grudge against us and now plans to pay us back in full for all the wrong we did him." So they approached Joseph and said, "Before your father died, he gave us these instructions. You shall say to Joseph, 'Jacob begs you to forgive the criminal wrongdoing of your brothers who treated you so cruelly. Please, therefore, forgive the crime that we, the servants of your father's God, committed.'" When they spoke these words to him, Joseph broke into tears. Then his brothers proceeded to fling themselves down before him and said, "Let us be your slaves." But Joseph replied to them, "Have no fear. Can I take the place of God? Even though you meant harm to me, God meant it for good, to achieve his present end, the survival of many people. Therefore, have no fear. I will provide for you and for your children." By thus speaking kindly to them, he reassured them. We've been reading many stories from this book of Genesis that I would just like us to call briefly to mind. The stories of Abraham, Abraham and Sarah, Abraham and Hagar, and Sarah and Hagar, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob, Jacob and Esau, the sons of Jacob, the brothers of Joseph, Joseph's journey to Egypt, the famine, the brothers coming without knowing that it is Joseph from whom they receive help, and eventually a kind of reconciliation. But as our readings today suggest, it was a kind of cautious or hesitant one on the part of the brothers of Joseph. They just weren't sure. And as shortly before, when the brothers first came the first time to see Joseph in Egypt, Joseph wept. So likewise, in our reading today, he manifests again that deep feeling. I would just like us for a moment to recall, both from these stories in Genesis, as well as probably from much of our human experience, what role rivalry or jealousy can play within family life. If we are realistic, it's there and better to be named. Think of just Sarah and Hagar and that relationship and the pain that each caused the other, and those two sons of Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael, Isaac through whom the Jewish people and we as Christian people have come to inherit the promise, and Ishmael, the one through whom the Arab peoples and thus many Muslim peoples are also able to trace their inheritance and lineage back to Abraham. And yet that rivalry that was there then still remains with us today among Jewish, Christian, and Muslim peoples. Whether it's in religious families, religious communities, our natural families, and that dynamic kind of continues then in the stories that we're given. The story of Jacob and Esau and how Esau must have felt when he was deprived of what he considered his birthright, as Jacob fraudulently was able to deceive Isaac. Again, the rivalry, the competition. And it shows up so eminently in the story of Joseph and his brothers who are jealous of him. Does my father love him more? who is my mother's favorite child. It's almost as if it's inevitable that as we mature within family life, we seek at times our worth or our identity through comparison, which ends up then almost necessarily as some form of rivalry. But without being able to go into the dynamics of all of that, simply naming it here as so much a part of the stories of Genesis, let us point to that other dynamic that we find so strongly as well here, and that is the challenge, the call to forgiveness, reconciliation. Esau forgave Jacob at their meeting when they first, years later, came back together and met for that first time. And likewise in Egypt, how Joseph forgave his brothers the incredible capacity after all that had been done for him to forgive, because he did see it as all part of God's providence and God being at work. And likewise today, even though the brothers remain insecure, Joseph reassures them. And so I think these readings help us to be both very realistic and also very hopeful and even idealistic with respect to family dynamics, but also with respect to our relationships in life, in networks, in communities, in religious situations. Can we avoid rivalry? Unfortunately, what we find depicted in Genesis is still with us today. Yes, we can uproot that if we discontinue our comparative forms of thinking, whereby we acquire our self-worth over against one another, where we acquire our identity by comparison with one another. But as well as we may do in that struggle to avoid jealousy, envy, rivalry with those who are really our brothers and sisters, and how those words connote, going back to Cain and Abel, we are our brothers' keepers, our sisters' keepers. To fail in that relationship of brotherhood or sisterhood is a serious failure. And how do we then work out of that? How do we heal what perhaps has been a wound? How do we restore health to the family system? It is through forgiveness. Esau forgave. Joseph forgave. Joseph, in that sense, prepares the way for Christ, who forgave. Father, forgive them. And so, as we ponder the wisdom of God and God's providence at work, in bringing out that plan of salvation through the fraudulent action of Jacob, through the work of Joseph's brothers, whereby Joseph ends up in Egypt, and thus the family line during famine can continue, as we ponder how providence works itself out, we also know that such does not happen apart from our own capacity to forgive. And so perhaps today we could just ask the question, whom do I need to forgive? Am I open to forgiving? Am I able to name those relationships that I see unnecessarily as rivals? Seeing those as rivals only diminishes me. It does not enhance who I am. Am I able to forgive and to seek reconciliation, and even to forgive myself? Joseph, on several occasions, ended up in tears. If we enter into the depths of our hearts and souls and look at the forgiveness that we need and the forgiveness we're called upon to give, tears also may come to our eyes.